In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This is Habakkuk's vision of the temple. Jesus in the New Testament in John chapter 2, verse 19 said, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, talking, of course, about the temple of his body. There are three outstanding thoughts in this text by Habakkuk. First of all, he is commanded to write a vision which anyone can easily read. Secondly, the vision, though delayed, will come to pass. That vision is inevitable. Wait for it. And thirdly, people will rebel against the vision in unbelief. But the man who believes it will live. Habakkuk was commanded to write this vision at the time of the destruction of the southern kingdom. He had seen Jerusalem utterly destroyed. He had seen the temple demolished. And with it, everything for time, everything for eternity perished. The promised Messiah, the Lord to come, where, in what temple would he now appear? The promised land in which they had lived, paradise, is lost. The enemy had left everything in ruins. Could even God himself raise it all up again? The temple which was destroyed contained the most holy place, and there, behind the veil, was the mercy seat where the blood of the atonement was sprinkled, and there too were the overshadowing cherubim, bending downward as if looking in wonderment at a bright mystery. But now then, since the destruction, where was the mercy seat? Where would the blood of the atonement now be poured out? Where would men look for the forgiveness of sins? Everything, absolutely everything, went with that temple. All life was buried with it. Habakkuk's vision is in the future. It's coming. It's a vision that, as the text says, did tarry while a bruised and afflicted and a broken and a dying mankind waited anxiously for it to come and to take on and to defeat brokenness and death. It's a vision of the God who cannot lie, keeping his promise by taking on flesh and blood to die, and so destroy death at its very heart and core and center. The vision is of the truth. The text says it will not lie. It's of the truth. And everything in heaven and on earth, absolutely everything, is anchored in that truth. Kaler says, The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, is the truth, the only truth, and that therein everything in heaven and on earth is anchored. Everything in heaven and on earth. For of him who is the truth, and through him and to him are all things. Destroy this temple, the temple of Christ's body, and in 3 days I will raise it up, talks about the destruction and the restoration of all things. Paul says, Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. How? Through his Son's death on the cross, through the blood of the cross. It's the whole Old Testament vision promised, and all of it fulfilled in the New Testament in Christ. All the prophets' visions and prophecies were of Christ, Luther said. When he appeared, they were fulfilled. And he himself says about the altar on which his blood would be poured out, how then shall it be fulfilled that thus it must be? In him then, in Christ, we see the real Holy of Holies. The sins of the world were laid on him there, on the one who himself is the propitiation, the hilasterion, the mercy seat. And the offering or the shedding of his blood for them, the world's sins, is accepted. The Jews at Christ's time knew of the temple of David's son, which was destroyed and restored or raised up again. But now Jesus says, destroy this temple, speaking of the temple of his body, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. This is the holy temple. This temple, Christ's body, is the holy place toward which men must look for salvation and everything else. The vision of Habakkuk is a vision of the atonement. The just shall live by faith in this temple, destroyed and raised to life again. There is no other place to look. A dying world can go nowhere else for life. Look anywhere else, to any other temple, to any other Savior, and you will most surely be lost. Don't sin against the vision. But men are in rebellion against God. Habakkuk says it, I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it were told you. And Isaiah says in chapter 53, the chapter on the suffering servant, Christ the Messiah, who hath believed our report? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do ye. Those were words spoken to rebels, to men whose souls are lifted up and not upright. These men were sinning against the vision. They were sinning against the forgiveness of sins. The text says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. When God looks into human hearts, he sees presumption. He sees rebellious men who exalt themselves, who want to act independently, without God, even against God. In their hearts, they're ready to cut him, God, off and cast him away from them forever so that they can be rid of their enemy. What they want is to rule in his place. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us and rule. Then we'll be free. And why not? Why not? Look at what he's done. Look at the world he's created. Poverty and violence and disease and decay and misery and death everywhere. The whole world is a cemetery. A living graveyard. The one responsible for this dying planet should be sought out and caught and nailed up so that men could look at him and laugh in relief as they see the destruction of the one who troubles them. Then they'll be free of the judgment. Then they'll be free to rule themselves. He, a God, ought to be made to feel what it's like to be human, to be a man, with death staring him in the face every step of the way, covering him like a dark cloud, always waiting around the corner, knowing that sooner or later he'll be one of its victims. That's what God ought to feel. Let God live constantly with the thought of judgment for every single misdeed. All of that and more is hidden in the hearts, concealed in the perverted flesh of presumptuous men. That's what God sees. Men bent on murder. Men wanting to kill the king and take his place and rule. This is the son and the heir. Come, let's kill him that the vineyard may be ours. Not one single righteous man among them. Not one single thought in the teeming billions of them everywhere. Not one. All their thoughts, all their righteousnesses, all their best works of one toward the other, all filthy rags. If life depends on righteousness and life, then they're all to a man dead. But the text says, the just shall live by faith in the vision. And the text says that the vision will speak. Will listen to him speak from the altar on which he offered up himself, his life, the altar on which he poured out his blood. For people like that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Does he hate God? Does he want him out of the way? Does he think God is unjust and unrighteous and unfair? No, he calls him my God. And in his high priestly prayer, the night before he was to go to the cross for the sins of sinful men, he calls him righteous. O righteous Father, the world hath not known you, but I have known you. This is what the vision is all about. This is the truth. This is the vision which will not lie. This vision will not fool you. This is a vision which, though it tarried, came and brought complete and utter and absolute deliverance and life to a dying world. Restoration complete in him. Christ is the real temple that was destroyed and raised up. The promised land, paradise, and with it everything else has been restored in him. This is the only place to go. This is the only place to look for righteousness and life. It's alone, it's only in him. I mean, a person like that who would do what he has done for presumptuous rebels, for stubborn people who are his enemies, a person who would do that can be trusted to take care of everything else, too. You can trust him to take care of all of your needs here at school, at work, at home, later on in the ministry, wherever and with whomever you are. And so now we've got power. Now we've got power to begin to be like that. So, write the vision, inscribe it clearly, write it so that anyone who reads it may run. Then many people will go and say, let us go up to the Lord's mountain, to the temple of the God of Jacob. Now you know about that temple. And he will teach us his ways, and we will live in them. Well, of course we will. Who wouldn't want to after what he's done? And now we can begin to be faithful to words like these. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, temples, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Of course we will. And we'll do it as we wait for him to return, to come again, and the final restoration of all things. May God give us all, each of us, the strength and the willingness to continue to do that in all of our living. For his Son's sake, amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, of your tender love towards us sinners, you have given us your Son, that believing in him, we might have everlasting life. Continue to grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may remain steadfast in this faith, and to the end, and to come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him.